Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On this week's program, I would like to discuss the case for opening the churches during this coronavirus pandemic. And this brings up questions such as, was it right for the churches to be considered non-essential businesses? And what should be our testimony to the world? That the churches side with the low-risk, fearful crowd? Or that the churches side with the high-risk, freedom crowd? And at what point should the churches practice civil disobedience? Or at least challenge the state with a lawsuit? Or take the more liberal interpretation of the law? And what are our constitutional rights? But more important, what are our biblical rights and mandates? So there's a lot to talk about. I won't get to everything. But let me begin this discussion by talking about my own state, New Jersey. Here's a news story. Dover, New Jersey church cited and fined for holding services in violation of New Jersey executive orders. Officers responded to a Spanish evangelical church on 24 East Clinton Street in Dover after the police department received reports from local residents of the church gathering, says Officer Delaney. At the scene, the officer spoke with the church pastor, who was issued two citations for breaking Governor Phil Murphy's Executive Order 107 and aiding and abetting the state's order to limit gatherings to less than 10. The police department submitted the violations to the Morris County Prosecutor's Office, which approved the department to issue the citation to the church. Delaney said the police department continues to enforce New Jersey's executive orders and urge residents to follow social distancing guidelines. Over the weekend, extra officers will patrol the area and enforce the governor's orders. Here's an article about a church in Middle Township, Cape May County. Pastor Jeff McLeod of the Rio Grande Bible Church faces a decision on Sunday. The pastor and a congregation want to hold a drive-in worship service. Middle Township police, acting in accordance with the directives they have received concerning Governor Murphy's executive orders banning public gatherings of 10 or more, say the church service would be a violation of the law. McLeod said he held a drive-in service last week and all went well. We had about 27 cars spaced on angles from each other. The pastor said a member of the congregation, who is a volunteer fireman, made sure that the cars were parked and angled in such a way that everyone was 10 feet or more apart. He also said those in attendance wore masks and were required to stay in their cars with windows cracked only an inch to allow audio from the speakers. For this pastor, this was a way to worship God and still maintain social distancing so necessary to protect his flock. I have many elderly people in the congregation, he said. I would never want to endanger them. Pastor McLeod is not someone who believes the dangers of COVID-19 are overstated. This virus is real, he said repeatedly. But following that service 1 week ago, Pastor McLeod heard from the township police. He was told that the gathering was a violation of the governor's orders. And if he persisted in having the service, he and those who participated could be subject to fines or arrest. The chief of police suggested that the church could hold multiple separate services at alternating times with no service involving more than 10 participating individuals. That would be in compliance with the order, said the chief of police. Now, the interesting fact about these two cases, these two stories, and many others like them in New Jersey, is that these churches were not breaking Governor Murphy's executive orders. His orders do not limit meetings to 10 or less people. And what's happening across New Jersey is local municipalities and police forces are making up their own laws based on either not having fully read the governor's orders or not understanding the legal language. The governor's executive order begins with a number of whereases. The whereas portion is not the law, but thoughts considered in making the law. And one line is, whereas the CDC had and recommended that Americans avoid social gatherings in groups of more than 10 people. Not only is this in the whereas portion, it is also just a recommendation. And in the body of the executive orders, the governor does not state that this recommendation is now the law of the state of New Jersey. And if the executive orders did limit gatherings to 10 or less, then every grocery store, every home improvement store would have people lined up waiting to get in 2 miles long. And furthermore, the other fact completely unknown to the public is that Governor Murphy's orders never closed down the churches. The only mention of the church is in Order 107, Paragraph 2, where you're allowed to leave home for religious reasons. In the sections defining non-essential businesses and essential businesses, there is no mention of the church. And quote, all essential retail businesses whose brick and mortar premises remain open to the public shall abide by social distancing practices to the practical extent while providing social services. Now, the church is not a non-essential or an essential retail business. So really, none of these laws apply. But if you were to consider the church an essential retail business, it does have the right to be open. But the executive orders do not specify either way. And either the lawyers who wrote these orders were just careless, or they deliberately left out any references to the churches to avoid constitutional problems. And I think it was the latter, because these lawyers had to have church meetings on their mind. They certainly did have the First Amendment on their mind, because they wrote in Order 107, Section 19, nothing in this order shall be construed to limit, prohibit, or restrict in any way the operation of newspapers, television, radio, or other media services. They included that because they understood First Amendment rights. These shutdowns were not allowed to restrict the freedom of the press. But in our First Amendment, before freedom of the press, comes freedom of religion. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. So any lawyer would argue, if the executive order does not restrict the press, by implication, it cannot restrict the church. The press and the church fall under the same legal principle. But again, the governor's orders are silent on the churches, and that silence means that there is no law restricting the churches. So, I sent a certified letter to the governor's attorney, and the state of New Jersey attorney general, asking them to clarify with a new executive order their rulings for the church. And I did this on behalf of the Jersey Shore Evangelical Minister Fellowship. And I explained in the letter the absence of any rulings for the churches in these executive orders. Now, so far, I have not received an answer from the state of New Jersey, and it's been over 2 weeks. And I really don't believe they will want to clarify. Because if they specifically state that the churches are to be classified as non-essential, then they're in legal trouble. They're open to constitutional lawsuits. Now, there are already some religious lawsuits against the state of New Jersey because of these lockdowns, just like there are many lawsuits happening in other states. Here's an article, priests suing Murphy over ban on religious gathering, claims order violates constitution. Catholic priest in North Caldwell is suing Governor Phil Murphy over the governor's stay-at-home directives. alleging in a new federal lawsuit that the state's prohibition of religious services during the coronavirus outbreak violates the Constitution. This priest alleges he was threatened with arrest if he hosts Mass at his church. And then there's this story. A Lakewood rabbi joins the priest in lawsuit against New Jersey governor to fight ban on religious gatherings. The four-count complaint claims that churches and synagogues can easily accommodate the kind of social distancing that keeps some commercial businesses open. Well, those lawsuits are quite interesting. But when they appear in court in a few months, probably after this coronavirus lockdown has passed, the judge can simply say, case dismissed. The state of New Jersey never made a law that churches and synagogues were to be shut down, or even made a law stating that churches and synagogues were non-essential. Now, these clergy may have a case against their own municipality, but not against the state of New Jersey. Also, they may have a case against Judith Persicilli, the New Jersey's commissioner of health. Before Easter, she sent out letters to New Jersey religious groups making all sorts of false claims that the governor's executive orders ban religious services. So again, the problem is that these local officials and municipalities are making up their own rules. Oh, and by the way, the governor's executive order, quote, no municipality, county, or any other agency or political subdivision within this state shall enact or enforce any order, rule, regulation, ordinance, or resolution which will or might in any way conflict with any of the provisions of this executive order. So, this brings up an issue that has plagued the church for centuries. Yes, we're supposed to follow Romans 13. Every person is to be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And we're to follow 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as to the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. But what happens when one authority contradicts another authority? Where lower and higher magistrates conflict, or where equal magistrates conflict, or when magistrates are not following the law of the land. John Calvin, in his treatise on civil government, addressed this briefly. He wrote, magistrates have been appointed to curb the tyranny of kings. I do not forbid these officials to check the undue license of kings. And as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8, if you see oppression of the poor and denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight, for one official watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them. So Christians can appeal to other magistrates and officials. We can appeal to the courts, but it must be done in the spirit of honor and respect and obedience. And that's why I wrote a kind letter to the governor asking for clarification, pointing out the legal problems, rather than writing him a letter calling him a fascist or a demagogue. So check with your local officials. You'll be surprised how many localities in New Jersey will let churches hold services. Many mayors consider churches essential. So first, do all you can within the law before the church has to meet underground. But the overall problem here for many Christians is that we mistake, you know, our ingrained rebellion against authority for patriotism and freedom. You know, the great Christian reformer Martin Luther wrote a letter back in the 16th century when a plague hit Wittenberg, Germany. And he wrote that there are some people who do not avoid places and persons infected by the plague, but lightheartedly make sport of it and wish to prove how independent they are. The church's problem with the current lockdown orders is not simply because the government is telling us what to do. God has given earthly powers to authorities to tell us what to do. Our objection is first to the unreasonableness of the orders, the double standard, and that there is really no medical necessity for the churches to close down. In fact, the overall testimony of the churches and the Christian community has not been rebellion, but actually going the extra mile to comply with these orders. Now, there are a few rabble, but that is just such a small minority that the press is blowing up. Russell Moore with the SBC did an interview with Christianity Today, and he made this point, quote, "It kind of drives me crazy when I see on television some prosperity gospel evangelists saying we can just blow the coronavirus away, and that's being presented as though that is the mainstream of what's happening in Christianity and Christian life in America. What I'm shocked by is the fact that the churches aren't begrudging participants in protecting their communities. In most cases, they are actually in front of the government when it comes to protecting their people. When this all began, I thought that with a simmering level of culture war that we have on both sides, this thing is going to explode. I'm really surprised that for the most part, it has not happened." Now, here's where I want to go with the program. In this case for opening the churches. Not the legal arguments, but the spiritual moral argument. The problem is we live in a secular world where the church is considered non-essential. Not just in regard to this pandemic, but the church has been marginalized for years. If our nation was God-centered, there would be no question that the church is way more important than Home Depot. That accepting the risk of contracting the virus to do a home improvement project doesn't trump the risk of contracting the virus to come together and worship God. That the public worship of God, the mutual ministry, prayer, the teaching of the Word of God is far more important than any essential business. In fact, the churches are far more important than the hospitals. As Jesus said, "Do not fear him who kills the body, but fear him who can cast both soul and body into hell." And as Jesus said, "What good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul?" Or Luke chapter 5, verse 23, "Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk?" In the context, Jesus was putting the priority on spiritual healing over physical healing. Or how about Matthew chapter 6? "The Gentiles are all worried about what they shall eat or what they shall drink or what they shall wear. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You say, no one thinks that way. Well, that's the great problem. That's the sin. Few people have God in the proper priority. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. "Jesus Christ is to come to have first place in everything." Now, this does not mean that churches should throw medical caution to the wind. But if, as the governor's executive orders state, grocery stores are essential, and pharmacies, and gas stations, and convenience stores, and hardware stores, and laundromats, and banks, and stores selling supplies for children under 5, and car repair businesses, and pet stores, and liquor stores, and print shops, and office supply shops, if these are all essential, then the church should be open for business. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That well-known quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and from Jesus in the temptation, means that the worship of God comes before our very food. Remember, Israel comes into the wilderness. Their priority was not the worship of God. They were a generation of unbelief. So they put the priority on the leeks and the onions and the garlic they got back in Egypt. Here's an example of the misplaced priority of magistrates and judges. The Christian Law Center, the Liberty Council, is suing Virginia and Governor Ralph Northam because on April 5th, on Palm Sunday, Lighthouse Fellowship Church in Chincoteague Island, Virginia, held a 16-person worship service in a 225-seat auditorium while maintaining social distance and personal hygiene protocol. Police monitored the service and issued the pastor a criminal citation and summons. The pastor faces penalties of up to a year in jail and a $2,500 fine. The lawsuit states that Northam's coronavirus restrictions violate the First Amendment by singling out churches and other religious groups for more stringent rules than secular establishments. And the Trump administration is supporting the defendants in this lawsuit. The Justice Department said the Commonwealth of Virginia has offered no good reason for refusing to trust congregants who promise to use care and worship in the same way it trusts accountants and lawyers and other workers to do the same. The U.S. Department of Justice will continue to monitor any infringement of the Constitution and other civil liberties, and we will take additional appropriate action if and when necessary. But here's the telling part of the story. The district judge, the court, would not issue the church immediate relief because, quote, although businesses may not be essential, the exception crafted on behalf is essential to prevent joblessness. In other words, the reason some businesses, although not essential, like laundromats and home improvement stores, can stay open by state law is because the purpose of the state is to keep them open to prevent joblessness. So making money becomes more essential than worshiping God. It kind of reminds us of all of those Old Testament texts where Israel in her apostasy put earning money before Sabbath worship. Amos chapter 8, verse 5. You say, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may open the wheat market? So the great offense is that while on Sunday morning churches are forced to shut down, many more people, strangers, are in very close proximity to one another going shopping. But the church, with a fixed, well-monitored group of people, can't even meet for 1 hour. You know, it's only people with wrong values and priorities who come up with plans like this. We have a serious priority problem in our country, and this is really the case for opening the churches. This is a far bigger problem than the coronavirus shutdown, the shutdown of the churches. The problem is Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, and they set their mind on earthly things, all because they're enemies of the cross of Christ. This problem, this sin existed way before this virus crisis. But this virus only shows how ungodly many people are in this country. So, by way of conclusion, the case for opening the church is the supremacy of Christ. Even in times of pandemic, when all precautions have been taken, any risk taken to worship God should be far superior to the risk we take for any other activity in life. The spiritual lesson in this church closed-down controversy is that Jesus Christ needs to come to have first place in everything. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. And thank you for including God and Country as just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may we reflect your Lordship rightly in the choices we make in this world. May nothing come before you, even our very lives. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.